Yes, please do check out the Inside Black and Gold podcast on the free Odyssey app, because you obviously can't get enough of this voice. Usually I am not losing my voice, but that's what allergies are. This is WWL. I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long behind the glass. And for the rest of the show, basically, we're going to break down the 53-man roster projection that I posted on WWL.com earlier today. So if you want to follow along, go ahead and do that. We're going to run through every position. We're going to have to do it kind of quickly.
You want to split like offense and then defense?
I want to start with quarterback and specialist and then go through the rest, because those are easy. First off, I want to start with specialist because it's pretty basic. Is there going to be a kicking competition? In my opinion, no. And from what we've heard from Darren Rizzi, that's not going to be something that we wait on very long, right? Like, it sounds like this coaching staff is expecting a year two leap from Blake Groupie, from Lou Headley. Now, we'll start with Blake. The guy he's competing with is Charlie Smith. One thing to keep in mind going forward, and there is a practice squad projection on here as well. This year in the NFL, there is a 17th spot possible to be kept on your practice squad. Now, that practice squad spot is carved out specifically for international players. You can keep 16 players on your practice squad or 16 plus an international player. So I think the idea with Charlie has always been, we're going to bring him in, we're going to coach him up, we're going to see if maybe in a few years he is a guy who can compete for this job. I don't think that's going to happen this year. Lou Headley, when you talk to Darren Rizzi, and again, Darren Rizzi is an important part here. They're not competing in the courtroom here for, you know, in the court of public opinion for who the punter is going to be. They are competing for how they view it in the mind of the coaching staff. And Darren Rizzi looks at Lou Headley and says, this is a guy who can kick the ball a lot further than you've seen. We just asked him to kick a certain way. And so when you hear him say stuff like that, I think it tells you there's just not going to be a major competition there. The net punting yardage, and that's the number that we've heard thrown around a lot. It was low. It was like 39.7, one of the lowest in the league. And we asked Darren Rizzi about that. And what he said was, you know, those numbers don't always tell you the whole story. And for Lou, one of the reasons that net number was so low is because the Saints punted a lot of the time in opposing territory. Right? 15 of his 75 punts were over the 50-yard line. So when you think about it, like, okay, how do you get a long punt? Well, you're not going to have a particularly long punt when you're punting the ball from their 39-yard line. The best possible punt you could hit is 38 yards and down it at the one, right? So anyway, I just think when you hear what they're saying, I just don't see a kicking competition developing. And so that's pretty easy to say. So those first three spots, Zach Wood, no question, Blake Groupie, and Lou Headley are your specialists.
I'm with you there. And I like Charlie Smith's story, like part of a former Gaelic football keeper.
Yes.
And he's also from the UK. He's from Ireland. So you're rooting for him to potentially at least make it onto the practice squad. I think it's a fun story as far as the NFL's international player program goes. And, you know, as soon as they signed him, it's 6'4" kicker, by the way. So it's like putting
him next to Blake Groupie.
Blake Groupie is very goofy.
Yeah. And here's the thing. He's got a cannon for a leg.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Like, his potential long-term is really high. I just don't think, and what we've seen is kind of told you this, the consistency isn't there right now. And there's a lot of body English happening when you watch him kick. And that's what he's got to build over time. But you're not going into a season with another rookie kicker if you don't have to. Right, that's just something you dealt with last year, but you didn't sit through that thinking we're going to replace him next year with another. No, like, you look at that kind of inconsistency as a rookie and you say, okay, he's only going to get better.
Yeah, you bought into your young guys, and like, so you're bought into him long term.
Yeah, like, you waited through the rookie struggle so that you don't have to do that again.
I agree.
Anyway, okay, so let's go to quarterback. Now, I'm keeping three quarterbacks, and that's something that is very much contingent on the backup quarterback competition. So those quarterbacks are Derek Carr, Jake Haener, Spencer Rattler. We don't really need to talk about Derek Carr. He's the starting quarterback. I don't know who needs to hear that. Derek Carr is the starting quarterback, and there's not really a question. The question is the backup quarterback competition. And the way I see it is the only way you keep two quarterbacks is if one of those quarterbacks is Spencer Rattler. If Spencer Rattler comes out and wins that backup quarterback competition, then I think you do cut Jake Haener because he wasn't drafted by this offensive staff. And you would keep Jake Haener if he's your backup. He wouldn't make sense. Nathan Peterman, I think, is a guy you could probably stash in the practice squad as an emergency guy. I put Jake Haener, from what I have seen, ahead of Spencer Rattler. And I think this team is one that has typically wanted to avoid putting an undue burden, an undue amount of responsibility on a rookie quarterback in terms of having to be the game day backup. You want that guy to just be able to learn and progress without that responsibility in year one. And so that's how I see it playing out. And so that makes it a little more difficult because I am going to carve out a couple extra roster spots for special teams players with the new kickoff. So now you just got to figure out how to make the numbers work, but I'm keeping three quarterbacks.
I don't think it's – well, the issue is that the battle's going to last all throughout training camp. Yeah. So, I mean, and even into the preseason, that's something that we have to see as well because, you know, Bobby's noted a couple times, like, Haener looked really good at practice last year as a rookie, but in the preseason he kind of struggled. So we'll see how he looks in preseason this year. It's going to be him and Rattler taking a majority of the snaps, obviously, and kind of battling it out to see who will be the number two guy behind Derek Carr, because I'm in 100% agreement with you. Carr's the guy. It's a matter of which of these young quarterbacks is going to be the number two, especially if he misses some time. So with Haener and Rattler, yeah, I think you do carry both in all likelihood. Once again, it's really, really early to be talking about it because we'll have to see how they look in training right. camp in the preseason. But as of right now, post-minicamp, yeah, I think you're carrying all three quarterbacks.
I will say that I think Jake had a very strong preseason opener last year. He was okay in the second one, the game in San Diego, or LA, I'm sorry. And then he struggled in the third game. So yeah. There was ups and downs.
And you kind of expect that from a rookie.
Right.
And I mean, we'll see what Spencer Rattler does in preseason action. Exactly. I think that's obviously something we're looking forward to seeing. But I mean, just hearing from Dennis Allen, he said that it's going to last all the way throughout August. And they'll find out basically at the very end who's going to be the backup.
I agree, but right now I'm putting Jake Haener ahead, and as long as Jake Haener's ahead, I'm keeping three. Going to running back / fullback, and this is a tough one because what are we calling Taysom Hill right now? I'm putting him in the fullback category.
I don't disagree.
Because I think you're going to be asking him to do a lot of fullback stuff, and so if I'm keeping Taysom Hill and calling him a fullback, I'm not keeping another fullback. So you're talking about Adam Prentice and Xander Horvath. I think you're in a situation where you can put one of those guys on the practice squad, maybe even both, and say, hey, if we need that extra fullback, we can call him up. We can elevate him as a game day elevation from the practice squad. We don't need to use a 53-man roster spot on him. And then later in the year, if we want to sign him, someone's going to get hurt eventually and you'll have a roster spot. So the running backs, I'm keeping it simple. Alvin Kamara, we'll see how that contract situation develops. Kendre Miller, Jamal Williams, and then Taysom Hill is my fullback. The cuts are Jordan Mims, Jacob Cabote, sorry, Charlie, Adam Prentice, and Xander Horvath. And I think it's pretty straightforward.
Yeah, my raging Cajun. Yeah, Jacob Cabote. But
he's a practice squad candidate.
No, like, I agree. But
as a UDFA, that's a win. Like, that's what a lot of people forget is, like, if you're a UDFA and you make a practice squad, that's a successful UDFA.
Yes. And as far as Jordan Mims goes, he's kind of been the talk of the camp as far as the running back room goes. Kendre Miller, man. Give him time.
You spend
a third-round pick on him. You're really, really hoping he can show you something just because so far he hasn't.
There's a universe where Kendre Miller plays in 13 games, looks like he did in Week 18 a lot more frequently, and this Alvin Kamara conversation is completely different.
Yeah, and Deuce was talking about this with Kendre. He's just got to be healthy.
Yeah.
And I mean, if he's healthy and ready to go and takes care of his body throughout a 17-game NFL season, then you might see him kind of break out. He could be a sneaky candidate. He's still got all the talent in the world. There's a reason they picked him in the third round. He's just got to show it.
When he was on the field, he played well.
Yeah, he's got to stay on the field. That's kind of the big question mark. Right.
Okay, moving forward, tight end. I'm keeping three, and this is my only UDFA that I'm keeping, and it's partially because Juwan Johnson's injury situation makes things a little murkier, and Taysom Hill is obviously with the fullback, so he's not here, where I might have listed him previously. So I'm keeping three tight ends, Juwan Johnson, Foster Moreau, and Dallin, the incredible Hulker. And I'm cutting Michael Jacobs and Jesper Horsted, who we just haven't seen yet to know much about, and then Tommy Hudson. And I think that makes a lot of sense.
Jacobson also seems like a clear practice squad candidate, I would say, just based off
He's got to get bigger. He's got to bulk up.
I know, I get it. But just what Bobby has been saying about him as far as every practice that he's seen, he's been catching balls. And so that's exactly what you want to see from him. So I would say, yeah, I could definitely see that happening. As far as Dallin Hulker goes, he's so exciting, isn't he? As an undrafted free agent.
Like, that upside, yeah.
A guy that probably should have gone. A lot of people had him ranked and graded day three pick, and he falls all the way not out of the fourth, fifth, sixth, and then seventh. And you get to sign him as a priority undrafted free agent. Yeah, absolutely. You do that. Now, is he going to block? As Mike always says, no. But if you want a guy who can catch a pass over the middle, yeah, Dallin Hulker is your guy.
from a physicality perspective of these guys listed, I do think Dowlin is probably your best option in terms of a blocker as opposed to a Michael Jacobson. I haven't seen Jesper Horsted to know high or low how he looks out there. So
right.
I'm just not going to put him on the roster without seeing it. But he could be that guy that shows up and really kind of opens eyes. Either way, Juwan's health with the foot injury and surgery is going to open up some options for some guys. Let's move on to wide receiver because it's one we're going to want to talk about a little bit. The top three here is pretty much concrete, in my opinion, in terms of at least who you're keeping. We can argue about A.T. Perry's role, but A.T. Perry's making this team. So you have Chris Olave, Rashid Shaheed at the top. We don't really need to talk about that in this context. A.T. Perry, he's making the team. And then the next three, I'm keeping six wide receivers. I'm keeping Cedric Wilson. I'm keeping Bub Means. I'm keeping Equanimeous St. Brown. Now, my initial roster projection, I had Stanley Morgan there, but Stanley's been dealing with an injury. Until we see him on the field, I just can't justify saying you're keeping him. But he is a special teams ace.
I was about to say, Darren Rizzi might fight for Stanley Morgan, depending on what he sees from him in training camp.
Right. And so he's a guy that is not on there right now, but I could very much see him bumping one of Equanimeous St. Brown or Cedric Wilson.
Cedric Wilson's an interesting one. Based off of what we've heard and seen, it feels like he's kind of beaten out Equanimeous for that veteran kind of role. Like, they signed both of them in the offseason, and feels like Cedric Wilson's been a little bit better than Equanimeous St. Brown. So if Stanley Morgan is going to bump one of those guys as far as sneaking in out of those six receivers, I think it would probably be St. Brown.
What I will say in that front is if Cedric Wilson is your wide receiver three, yes, you would bump St. Brown.
Right.
If A.T. Perry is your wide receiver three and Equanimeous is more valuable as a blocking wide receiver, like, if you are going to use A.T. Perry anyway, and the value of that extra wide receiver is as a blocker and a special teams player, then probably you would keep Equanimeous over Cedric. So it's there's some nuance in how you have to look at it in terms of what you're asking them to do. But I do think it's probably more likely that Cedric is that kind of versatile wide receiver that you use in the offense a lot more, and A.T. Perry is still developing.
I'd love to see A.T. break out.
I would too.
Like what Dennis is said, and when we were talking with Ross, we brought it up, just got to be a little bit more consistent, I would say. So moving on to the offensive line, Jeff, you got nine guys sticking there instead of, it feels like typically 10 or so. So you got nine.
I have nine offensive line and nine defensive line, and that is directly related to, okay, I need more linebackers and safeties on the new kickoff,
right?
And so then that's where I'm stealing a spot.
There you go. Let's break it down. Eric McCoy, Cesar Ruiz, Taliese Fuaga, Nick Saldivari, Trevor Penning. Seems to be your starting offensive line.
Right.
And then you got some bench pieces here. Landon Young, Justin Heron, Shane Lemieux, and Lucas Patrick. Lucas Patrick's an interesting one. Same thing with Shane Lemieux. I think both of them could compete with Saldivari for that starting spot at left guard. That's still kind of the big question mark there. I think you kind of know what they want to do at the tackles. Like Taliese Fuaga is going to be on the left side. Trevor Penning's going to move to the right side. The two penciled in spots before all of this started, and obviously the Ryan Ramczyk thing had something to do with that too, is that you had Eric McCoy as your starting center and Cesar Ruiz as your starting right guard. So left guard was a big question mark and the tackles were, but it seems like they figured out the tackles. We'll see how effective they are, but left guard, Saldivari has been the guy that's been penciled in, former fourth round pick, but a couple veterans could definitely, I guess, put a charge into him for that.
Yeah, the ones I'm not sure about, so I'm cutting Sincere Hainsworth, Kyle Hergel, Nori Nwili, Oli Udo, Mark Evans, and Josiah Ezrim. Ezrim is the only draft pick that I'm cutting. And as a seventh round pick,
right.
You're right on the fringe. You're going to keep him on the practice squad. You're going to try to develop him, but you're okay with it. Where I'm kind of on the fence here, and it's more about, okay, I've seen these guys, is Justin Heron, Shane Lemieux, Lucas Patrick. I think Oli Udo probably takes one of those spots.
Oli Udo's a versatile guy.
Yeah.
He can play multiple spots, and that always serves offensive linemen well. So I would agree. I could see that happening.
Yeah, and we just haven't seen him on the field a ton, and we have seen Justin Heron. So right now, this is kind of what my methodology is. Like, if we've seen a guy, I'm going to err toward him because we just don't know. But all right, let's hit a break, and then we'll come back and we'll break down the defense. Again, I'm Jeff Nowak, Charlie Long. We're going through our Saints 53-man roster projection after minicamp, getting ready to be wrong real early, as we always do. But, okay, keep it locked on WWL. We will be right back. Back in on WWLAMFM.com and the Odyssey app. Jeff Nowak, I forgot how to say my own name, alongside Charlie Long, taking you up till 8 p.m. And we are breaking down the Saints 53-man roster projection that is on WWL.com right now. If you want to follow along, go check it out right there. And we're going to do the defense in this segment. We're going to start with defensive end. The least interesting position to even talk about.
Easily.
I would have had some question in terms of, are you keeping six? Because that's a big number. And when it comes to not being able to participate in the special teams part of the game as effectively, it's tough. Would you rather keep an extra linebacker or a defensive end? With Tano Passanio's injury, that kind of makes a decision for me. And so I'm not keeping another defensive end just to plug into that spot. And it just ends up being, okay, Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Chase Young, Peyton Turner, Isaiah Foskey. And I actually really like that group. If two of those final three names can stay on the field for a majority of the season, I feel like you have a really strong defensive end group. If they can't, then you're back to square one. But those are the obvious names, the cuts, Trajan Jeffcoat, Nico Lalos, Nate Latu, the UDFA at Oklahoma State.
So many question marks about Isaiah Foskey, Peyton Turner specifically. I think we got positive updates for Chase Young in his offseason neck surgery recovery, which is good, and that he'll be ready for training camp. So you love to hear that. You know, Carl Granderson, Cam Jordan, Chase Young, locked in stone.
Funny part is all of these high draft picks, and the only one I'm really confident in is Carl Granderson, who's a UDFA.
Exactly. You need something from Peyton Turner and Isaiah Foskey.
I need something from one of those guys. I don't necessarily need a huge contribution from both, but I need one of them to make an impact. It would be great if they both do.
I think if they both make a decent impact, right? Like, I'm not asking for both of them to have double-digit sack seasons, but if they can both contribute to the pass rush,
you're really stronger.
Yes, exactly. But you have to have something there.
Yep.
It's some kind of return on investment from a first-round pick and a second-round pick on those two guys.
And I think like the talent is there, and if they can stay on the field, you feel decent about it. But all right, moving on to defensive tackle, and this is a group that I was on the fence about keeping three or four until, again, Tano Passanio got hurt, and that kind of makes a decision for me. And I'm keeping Colin Saunders, Nathan Shepard, Brian Brzee, who I'm hoping can kind of step forward and maybe make Nathan Shepard a more of a backup in his role, if he can be more of a three-down defensive tackle, three technique. And then I'm keeping Christian Boyd, who is a rookie that I don't want to cut and I think has flashed a decent number of times at camp already. I feel like I like what I've seen from him, and if I can keep him on the roster, I'm going to do that.
He's one of those guys I'm rooting so hard for.
Yeah.
I remember his post-draft interview that he did on WWL where
he's a guy to like.
Yeah, he's definitely one of those dudes that you're rooting for. Christian Boyd, Northern Iowa, he had a crazy pro day. Also, you know, he just looks like a man amongst boys every time that he's out there.
38 reps on the bench press.
Yeah, he is just gigantic. So a guy in the interior kind of projects as like a nose tackle, obviously, but someone that you're really hoping for to help your run defense and be just a plugger in the middle.
All right, and so, yeah, we're getting down to it here. We don't have a ton of roster spots left, but these last three positions, I have carved out a few extra spots for special teams contributors, and the first one is linebacker. I'm keeping six of them. Last year, I would not be keeping six. With the new kickoff rule, I'm keeping six. And so the obvious, DeMario Davis, Pete Warner, Willie Gay, those guys are making the team. We don't really need to talk a ton about them. From there, there's a question. And I'm going with DeMarco Jackson just because I feel like he's been a special teams contributor over the last several years. The coaching staff likes him. He made an impact last year, and I think he's going to win that job again. But, you know, it's on the fence. Then you got a rookie, Jalen Ford, fifth-round pick. And then Kalike Hudson, who has made his name as a special teamer with the Commanders, and also gives you some upside in terms of you've seen him on the field, he's made a bunch of tackles.
A good depth piece, at the very worst, because he did get some starts late in the season last year with Washington, and he performed very well. But, you know, you're looking at Kalike Hudson, I agree 100%. He's going to be a special teams guy for you. But if there are some injuries that just rack up against your linebacker room, he's a guy that's shown that he can go out and perform pretty well.
Yeah, and last year, I would have kept five, and I would be deciding between keeping two of DeMarco Jackson, Jalen Ford, Kalike Hudson, and then Anthony Orji, who I think has been really solid, was a UDFA last year, stuck around the practice squad, and I think he is in that mix. Like, you could convince me that he takes one of those spots right now, but that's just how I landed today.
And then, Jeff, you said that defensive end was the easy one, but this is the easiest one is cornerback as far as the four corners that
that's
you're
true.
Keeping.
I lied. Yeah.
Marshawn Lattimore, Paulson Adebo, Alante Taylor, Kool-Aid McKinstry, cut and dry, one of the best cornerback rooms in the NFL.
Assuming health, that is obvious.
That is true.
Right? Like, that's your four, and from top to bottom, that is one of the strongest positions I've ever seen on the Saints at any year.
Elite.
And you're just going to see how it goes, assuming there's no trades, assuming there's no one gets hurt. And the cuts there are Rajon Wright. I think it's Rajon. I think I've been saying it wrong. Rico Payton and Shamar John Charles. And that's a good group, too. I like that group. I think you're going to keep at least one of them on the practice squad.
I would agree, too. But you're just looking at those four names and you're thinking, yeah, that's, once again, one of the best cornerback rooms in the entire NFL. So no kind of question marks there. I agree with it 100%.
All right, and then one more position, and we can knock this out. We made good time here. Safety, and this is another position that last year maybe I would have kept five. This year I'm keeping six, and that extra guy is exclusively I need him on kickoff, kick coverage. And that's so the obvious, Tyrann Mathieu, Jordan Howden, Jonathan Abram, and JT Gray, who's a lock as a special teamer. The other three are locks, as I think Tyrann Mathieu and Jonathan Abram are your starting safeties, and then Jordan Howden is my dime safety. And then from there, I have Ugo Amadi, who was here last year. Coaching staff likes him, has been really solid in camp.
Yep.
And is kind of your backup everything on defense. And then Will Harris, who I think is a very flexible player and will be an asset on special teams, can play the nickel, can play outside. And I think when you're talking about these guys who you want to keep as your extra specialists, as your extra special teams assets, you want them to be flexible in terms of if you need them to play in the defense, you can slot them in at multiple positions. If injuries go out of control and you just desperately need a guy to come in and play the outside corner position, come in to play the slot, both of those guys can do that, and that's why I like them.
I love Ugo. And jack of all trades is kind of what you're talking about here. And
yes,
he can be asked to do different things if needed. And, I mean, that's super valuable, especially when you're getting down to the final kind of cuts that you're making. Like, how much can this guy do for me? How much can this guy do for me? And if there's, you know, a talented player that only can really play one position or one spot effectively, then you're going to go with the guy that maybe just slightly less talented but can do more. Just because, you know, injuries happen in football, and you might be calling his name to do different things. So Ugo Amadi, I really, really like. As far as Tyrann Mathieu, Jonathan Abram, I think, as you mentioned, that's probably your starting safety duo. Ross Jackson made a really good point about Jordan Howden, because we've talked about, oh, is Jordan Howden going to win the starting safety spot next to Tyrann Mathieu?
Yep.
And that he expects Howden to be kind of the next up-and-coming guy after Tyrann eventually moves on from football.
I agree with
that. And so that they're kind of grooming him to be, you know, the replacement, so to speak, for Tyrann Mathieu.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And Joe Woods kind of talked about it. And it's like, he's not having him be the starter next to Tyrann Mathieu this year isn't an indictment on Jordan
Howden. No, not at all.
It's just, you know, you're developing him. You want to ask him to be able to do the things that he needs to do at a high level so that when he does kind of develop into that starter, he's ready. And they probably asked him to do a little more than they were comfortable with last year based because of the injuries.
In his rookie season.
Yeah. And so it's
a fifth round pick.
It's not a step back. It is just kind of molding his role into a more specific thing that he can dominate at.
Yeah, Jordan Howden's someone that they have future plans for, and that is clear as day. So it's just a matter of making sure that he knows what he's being asked to do and what spot he's going to be taking on this defense eventually.
He's bulked up, too. You can see it. He's thicker. So hopefully that helps him in terms of tackling. And yeah, I like Jordan a lot. I like his attitude. I like his mindset. And that's it. That's the 53-man roster
projection.
There we go.
Way too early, 53-man roster projection.
Way too early. What I will add is, okay, so the cuts at safety, before we go, is Lawrence Johnson, Millard Bradford, Fayon Hicks. Not exactly anyone people are going to be yelling at me for cutting, but that's going to be it.